Hello, everyone, and thank you so much for tuning into today's episode of the Accountability Partner Podcast. My name is Tierra Jackson. I'll be serving as your podcast host and accountability partner as you embark on your journey towards purpose. Now, if you haven't already, please make sure you subscribe to the podcast and rate us, as well as follow us on social media on IG and Facebook. That's going to be at The Account Partner. Again, at The Account Partner on IG and Facebook. All right, with that being said, let's get into today's episode. Hello, everyone. Happy Wednesday. Happy Thanksgiving Eve. Happy pre-day before the turkey day. Happy fried chicken, yams, mac and cheese day Eve. All of those great things. I don't know if you can tell, but your girl is very excited to be celebrating Thanksgiving tomorrow. And you know what? While I do love food, I'm honestly more excited this specific Thanksgiving to one, spend time with family, and to two, really be in a state of reflection. God has been so good to me. Like, I wish y'all knew. He's been so good to me these past few months, this past year. And I'm sure he's been even, you know, good to y'all. The fact that we are even alive today in the midst of a pandemic, to be listening to this podcast, to have a roof over our head, to be, you know, in a position where we're working towards specific goals, that just shows how blessed we truly are. That just shows, you know, the reason to just say thank you, that just goes to show that we should always be operating in a level of gratitude. There is always someone who has it worse than us. And so I'm excited about Thanksgiving. I'm excited about this episode. Now, before we get into the specific topics I want us to declare the following affirmations. I am a disciplined, trustworthy, and obedient steward of God's finances. I will always seek God's instruction concerning how to manage his money. Because of my obedience, I will always walk in abundance and I will never need for anything. I am a true wealth builder and I am a wealth maintainer. Again, I'm going to repeat them. I am a disciplined, trustworthy, and obedient steward of his finances. I will always seek God's instruction concerning how to manage his money. Because of my obedience, I will always walk in abundance and I will never need for anything. I am a true wealth builder and a wealth maintainer. Now the word says that we are to decree a thing and it shall be established. So as we've decreed these specific declarations, as we declare these things over our lives, we are believing that this is going to be our reality. Now with that being said, let's get into today's topic. Now today we are continuing or rather completing our series discussing the principles of wealth. And today as the finale, we are specifically talking about God's requirements, God's principles concerning how it is we are to spend and manage our money. As I mentioned in previous episodes, which you all should, you know, go back and listen to, there are a plethora of different scriptures that speak to what we are to do with our finances. There's a variety of different tips and strategies that give us direction regarding how it is we are to operate so that we can walk into the wealth that God has for us. And this is why we truly need to read the Bible for ourselves, because I can't go over or go through 800 plus, 1,000 plus verses all in one episode. But for today's specific purpose, we're going to be talking about the five key requirements that God has given each and every single one of us concerning how it is we are to manage our money, and really how we are to manage his money. Because what did we learn in one of the previous episodes? Nothing belongs to us. Our finances, our income, our lives do not belong to us. It all belongs to God, and we are mere managers. And because we are mere managers, we are to always seek the owner's instruction concerning what it is we are to do with the resources, with the things he has given us. And so that is what we're going to delve deeper in today. So what is a requirement? According to dictionary.com, a requirement is that which is required. It is a thing demanded or obligatory. Another definition says, it is a thing that is required in order for something else to happen or to exist. And when I think requirements, I immediately begin to think of college and the variety of different requirements that are needed in order for someone to graduate. For example, I graduated with a degree in finance. However, in order for me to have obtained that degree, there were specific requirements, there were specific demands that I had to fulfill. Some of those included that I had to take a course called financial modeling. I had to take certain electives. I had to take a business management class. A variety of different requirements needed to be met in order for me to receive my specific degree in finance. And if I didn't fulfill those requirements, I would have not been able to be in a position to receive my diploma. And the one thing I really want to emphasize as well is these requirements were outlined before I even started my freshman year. Again, these requirements were given to me before I even pursued my degree. That means if I were to get to graduation day and I would have not been able to fulfill I have not fulfilled all my requirements. I have not received my diploma. I would have not been able to use ignorance as an excuse because the requirements were already laid out. And the same concept applies to us when talking about wealth. As stewards of God's money, there are certain requirements that we must fulfill in order to walk in the abundance and overflow that God calls us to. Now, I'll get into this further as we continue throughout this podcast, but one thing I want us to understand is, regardless of whether or not we agree with what's required, regardless of whether or not we understand why God gives a specific instruction, we are to do it anyway. I repeat, regardless of whether or not we understand why God gives a specific instruction, we are to do it anyway. You know, there are many principles and many laws that God has that literally make no sense. I'll be honest, there are a lot of things I've read in the Bible. I'd be like, Lord, I don't know why you said that, but at the end of the day, you know what, babe, you my God, I'm gonna do it. And I choose to do them because He is not only sovereign, because He is not only the all-knowing, all-wise God, I know that His plans for me are to prosper and not harm me. And because I know this, I choose to lay down my own I choose to lay aside my own limited wisdom and do that very thing that He requires me to do. And so going back to that school example, for my people at Howard, one of the requirements that we all had to take in order to pass or in order to graduate was take a swimming class. Now, for me, for someone who was not pursuing a swimming degree or a water aerobics or water sport degree, taking a swimming class made absolutely no sense to me in order for me to have to, you know, in order for me to be able to obtain my degree in finance. But regardless of how I felt, regardless of my inability to understand why I had to take that class, I took the class. And it was because of the fact that I took the class that I was able to graduate. Now, if I didn't take the class, if I didn't pass that course, I would have not been able to meet all my requirements and I would have not been able to receive my degree. And so that is what a requirement is. I really want us to really make sure that we have a foundation of what a requirement is before we delve deeper into these specific instructions. So now that we have a better understanding, what are God's requirements of us concerning money? And as I mentioned previously, there are tons of principles and tons of instructions that God gives us concerning what it is we are to do with our money. But for today's purposes, we are going to highlight five. And those five are: 1, honor God with your wealth. 2, give generously. 3, pay your taxes. 4, pay off debts. And 5, save. Again, I repeat, that's 1, honor God with your wealth. 2, give generously. 3, pay your taxes. 4, pay off debts. And 5, save. Now, I hope you have your pen and paper. I hope you are somewhere where you can literally take notes, because we're literally going to dissect each and every single one of these so that we can be in a position where we have all the knowledge at hand and we can begin implementing these principles yesterday. All right, so first things first, honor God with your wealth. There's a scripture that says, honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing, and your vats will brim over with new wine. And I looked up the word honor, and it literally means to respect, to reverence, and to worship. Now, how do you reverence? How do you respect? How do you worship God with your wealth? You simply do what he tells you to do with it. You give it back to him. And that goes back to the example. Because we are mere managers of his money, we are to always go to the instructor. We are to always go to the owner for instructions concerning what to do with it. We understand that the money belongs to God. And once he gives us an instruction, we are to obey it immediately without question. I repeat. Once God gives us an instruction, we are to obey it immediately and without question. That's where the respect comes in. And you know, the great thing about this verse is that there is a promise that is connected to honoring God with our money. And so the scripture said, honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. Here's the promise. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing, and your vats will brim over with new wine. This is the promise of overflow. As you honor God with your wealth, God will honor you with abundance. God will honor you with overflow. God will cause your barns to be filled to overflowing and your vats to brim with new wine. And you know, I don't know who needs to hear this, but if God has been telling you to maybe give a certain amount of money or to do a specific thing with the money, stop delaying. Because the more you delay, the more you will hinder God from being able to release this promise over your life. And so that is honoring God with your wealth. Now, two, what is the next requirement? And again, these are in no specific order. I'm just listing them so that we can just have an understanding of the five key ones that I discovered as a result of my study or research. The second requirement is for us to give generously. I repeat, one of the requirements we have as Christians is to give generously. We are commanded to be generous givers. 2 Corinthians 8:7 says, just as you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in complete earnest, and in your love for us, see that you also excel in the grace of giving. Now, I know someone's probably thinking, you know, why would God tell people to give, especially when we're talking about wealth? That doesn't make any sense. That seems as if I'm losing wealth by giving it more and more and more. You know, some people don't even have the money to give. And the first thing I'll say as a response to that is, we are created in the image of God, and we are to reflect in him in every way. And this includes our ability, our requirement of being or to be generous. You know, God is the most generous being on the planet. He gave us life. He gives us blessings every single day. He gives us new mercies every single day. He gave us his own freaking son, okay? He gave us everything. And in that same way, we are to reflect his nature and display his extreme generosity, especially in the area of our finances. And the second thing I'll say is that God requires us to be generous givers because of another principle that he has set in place, which is the principle of sowing and reaping. 2 Corinthians 9:6 says, remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows generously will also reap generously. God wants us to reap generously, so God has called us to be generous givers. And you know, Luke 6:38 says, give and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use it, it will be measured to you. This is the promise. This is the principle. The requirement that God has put us, that requirement that God has put in place is for us to be generous givers. And in order for us to experience that abundance, in order for us to experience the good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and run over. I don't know, every time I read that, I feel like I want to do a dance. But in order for us to experience that abundance, we must be generous. And now, what are some ways or areas that we are instructed to give? I'll highlight three: giving to the poor, giving our tithes, and giving offerings. Now, what is giving to the poor? Deuteronomy 5, 7 through 8 says, if among you one of your brothers should become poor in any of your towns within your land that the Lord your God is giving you, you shall not harden your heart or shut your hand against your poor brother, but you shall open your hand to him and lend him sufficient for his needs, whatever it may be. Now, poor does not only mean people who are homeless. It does not mean people who are in bad fight. Excuse me. It does not mean people who are homeless, people who, you know, are living on the streets. It simply means someone who is in a bad financial situation or lacking enough money to satisfy a need. Not a want, I want to make that clear, but a need. You know, maybe someone is struggling to pay a bill. Maybe they're, you know, they don't have enough funds to pay their way through school. Whatever it is, whoever it is, we are committed to give, we are to give to them, whether that's money, whether that's time, resources, whatever. We have a requirement to give to the poor. And in Proverbs 19:17, it says, whoever is generous to the poor lends to the Lord, and he, God, will repay him for his deed. There's also scripture that says, he who gives to the poor will lack nothing. So if you never want to be in lack, if you want God to be the one to repay you, and again, God is the one of unlimited resources. So he may see you giving to the poor. He'd be like, you know what? I'm going to go ahead and bless Tia with a new Bentley. I'm going to go ahead and bless her with $1 million simply because you have given to the poor. So if you want God to be the one to repay you, make sure you are fulfilling the requirement of giving to the poor. The second thing we're required to give is our tithe. Malachi 3:10-11 says, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be enough room to store it. Now, the word tithe literally means tenth. This means that the income we're receiving, only 10% of it, must go to support God's work. And God will allow you to keep the other 90%. And, you know, given that it's his money anyway, because what are we again? We're mere managers of it. That's a pretty fair amount to me, if you ask. He's only requiring 10%. And the general rule of thumb is that we are to give that 10th to the church that we, you know, we're attending. And I know there are some people who may not have a church home. So you can literally give to a ministry. You can give to a cause that's promoting God's agenda. This is why it's so important to seek God's face concerning what it is that he needs you to do, because he'll direct you and show you the places where you need to sow. So whatever, whoever, wherever God places on your heart to tithe, go ahead and do that. And as a result of us fulfilling this specific requirement, as a result of us paying our tithe, the scripture says that God will pour out so much blessing that there will not be enough room to store it. This is the realm that you and I should always walk into. We should always desire to walk in the realm of overflow, because this is the true realm that reflects God's nature. God is not a God of just enough. God is a God who likes to do exceedingly and abundantly. He's a God who likes to show out. And so if that is the case, we must fulfill that requirement of paying our tithes. And the last thing I'll mention in the giving category is offerings. We are to give offerings. And an offering is simply a gift, a donation, or a contribution. 2 Corinthians 9:7 says, each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Now, the one thing I'll note is that offerings have no specific dollar amount required to it, or a dollar amount requirement tied to it. These are simply amounts or things of your choosing. And as you're thinking about the amount you want to give, remember that those who sow sparingly will also reap sparingly, and those who sow bountifully will reap bountifully. So that is giving, and we are required to be generous givers. We are required to exercise or utilize our funds to give to these various causes, to give to other people, to give to the poor. And it is because of this very thing. It's because of us walking in this generosity that God will begin to allow us to walk in the realm of overflow. Now, the next instruction I'll say, the next requirement that God gives us is a fan favorite. Pay your taxes. Not pay half of them. Not never file them. Pay your taxes. Romans 13, 6 through 7 says, this is also why you pay taxes. For the authorities are God's servants who give their full time to governing. Give to everyone what you owe him. If you owe taxes, pay taxes. Again, if you owe taxes, pay taxes. If it's revenue, then revenue. If it's respect, then respect. If it's honor, then honor. Now, I'm not going to go deep into this. I just want to highlight the fact that God commands us to pay our taxes. And there are many of us who still haven't filed our taxes since 2015, or maybe they've never even filed their taxes. I'm not judging. You probably didn't know, but now that we know it's a requirement, now that we know it's command, we need to go ahead and pay our taxes, because if we don't pay our taxes, we are disobeying God's instruction. And anytime we walk in disobedience, we literally give the enemy access to afflict our lives. And I certainly don't want the enemy attacking my finances. So I'm going to suck it up. I'm going to render to Joe what belongs to Joe and go about my business, because at the end of the day, I know God is smiling down, looking at me like, you know what, daughter, you did the right thing. I know you wasn't trying to pay these taxes, but because it is a requirement of the authority that I've allowed to be in place, I'm gonna go ahead and bless you with an abundance. Now, if you would like to learn more about taxes, filing taxes, or even have specific tax questions, you can visit my personal tax specialist at therohfinancials.com. That's therohfinancials.com, therohfinancials.com. This is where I get my taxes done, and I always receive a hefty refund. My good sis always has the best deductibles, all of these different things, and I'll be sure to link her in my show notes. Now, after taxes, what are we instructed to do? We are to pay off debts. I repeat, we are to pay off debts. And a debt is simply something that you owe. It's whether it's money, an obligation, whatever it is, we are instructed to pay off debts. And even using the previous verse that I mentioned, Romans 13, 7, it says, pay to all what is owed to them. Taxes to whom taxes are owed. Revenue to whom revenue is owed. Now, I also want to highlight this verse, especially for those who have lots of debt and struggle to refuse to pay people back. Psalms 37, 21 says, the wicked borrows and does not pay back, but the righteous is gracious and gives. Also, Proverbs 22, 7, which says, the rich rules over the poor and the borrower is slave to the lender. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm definitely not trying to be a slave to anybody but Lord Jesus Christ. And I refuse to be deemed as wicked simply for the fact that I haven't paid any of my debts. God has called us to be lenders and not borrowers. That is our identity. Therefore, we must do whatever we need to do to ensure our debts are paid off, whether that's creating a budget, seeking wise counsel concerning, you know, how to even go about paying your debts, eliminating certain expenses, whatever it is and whatever God leads you to do. Do it so that you can begin walking in the fullness of who you are, the fullness of your identity as a lender and not a borrower, because that is what God has called us to do. And that leads us to our last point, which is save. We are required to save. Proverbs 6:6-8 says, go to the ant, you sluggard. Consider its ways and be wise. It has no commander, no overseer or ruler, yet it stores its provisions in summer and gathers its food at harvest. And we are to be like an ant when managing our money. The same way the ant stores its provisions in the summer and gathers food for harvest, we are to be wise enough and disciplined enough to set money aside for rainy days, to set some money aside for sunny days, or set money aside when things may be tough. I don't know if you've been watching the news, but they've been talking about the fact that we're getting ready to go into a recession. And to prepare for such a time, it is imperative for us to have a savings in place to ensure that we are good. I am Pete. It is always essential for us to have a savings in place to ensure that we are going to be okay in the midst of these tough times, because tough times will come. They are inevitable. You know, when there may be times where you may receive an unexpected bill or a fine or a demand, whatever it is, you never know that some of these things will come. But the wise who store up for those times are always ready and are always prepared, while those who simply spend every single thing that they get will be unprepared in these different times. And it's time for you and I to get ready. It is time for you and I to set aside certain funds and save as God requires us to. Now, God is truly doing something new in all of our lives in the area of finances. And I'd hate for God to grant us a supernatural divine amount of wealth and we end up just squandering it. The prayer for us moving forward literally needs to be, Lord, make me a great steward over my finances. Lord, give me the wisdom and discipline necessary to not just obtain wealth, but to also maintain it. And now that we are no longer ignorant to his principles, God is now going to be holding us accountable and watching how it is we're managing our finances moving forward. And this leads me to my one and only action item, which is put what it is that we've learned into practice. Simply begin implementing the principles. Begin saving. Begin paying off debts. Begin giving generously. Begin tithing. Whether it's just starting with one or starting with all of them, because we are aware of what's required, we must now inquire of God and ask Him for direction concerning how to do what it is that He's requiring us. This is, again, the most important thing. We are to always go back to God for instruction. We learned in a previous episode, which is why y'all gotta go back and listen to the episodes if y'all haven't, all of the other parts of the series on the principles of wealth. We learned that all we have to do is ask God for wisdom and He'll give it to us. So we can ask Him how and where to start with, you know, fulfilling these specific requirements that He's giving us, and He'll send the answer to us. Whether that's him leading you to look at an Instagram post or talking to a friend or a mentor who will give you know, some wisdom, reading a specific verse in the Bible or praying, know that God will answer you. Know that God will send you his answer. He'll send you his promise. He'll send you every single thing that you need, whether it's a destiny helper, an online course, whatever it is, so that you are walking in alignment and fulfilling these specific instructions so that you can be experiencing the abundance and the realm of overflow that he desires for each and every single one of us. So as a recap, God commands us to do the following with our finances. Number one, honor him. Give the money back to him. Seek him concerning what it is we are to do with it. Two, give generously, paying the poor, giving to the poor, paying tithes, paying offerings. Those who give generously will reap generously. So give generously. Three, pay our taxes. Give to Joe what belongs to Joe. Four, pay off our debts because we are lenders and not borrowers. And save for rainy and sunny days because you never know when any of us can fall into onto hard times. And so with that being said, I pray you all learn something new, and I really want us to be in a place where we are, or rather in a place where these principles are literally second nature for us. May we be known by our extreme generosity and blessed because of our obedience. I repeat, may we be known by our extreme generosity, and may people know that we are only blessed because of our obedience to the principles that God has laid out for us. Y'all, I don't know if y'all feel it, but God is, again, he is doing something. He is desiring to do something in the area of our finances. He's desiring to bless us abundantly. He's getting ready to release a certain amount of wealth amongst all of his people. And in order for us to not squander, in order for us to be in a place where we're able to maintain it, we have to know these principles. We have to put them in place so that we will not squander, not destroy the blessing when he, you know, gives it to us, but wait, we'll be in a position where we'll be able to multiply it, where we'll be able to increase, we'll be able to go from new level to new level to new level, where truly lack will never know us ever again. Y'all, we got this. You got this. And now let's start walking in it. And I pray you have a wonderful holiday. I pray you eat as much good food as you can. Because listen, I've been working out all week just so I can pig out tomorrow. And know that, especially as I'm in a place of reflection and gratitude, I'm extremely grateful for each and every single one of you for listening to my podcast and rock with me. So I love you. I pray you have a great turkey day, a great holiday. I pray you begin to walk in the blessings, the abundance, and the overflow that God has for you. And I pray that you just be great. All right, y'all. Love you. Peace. Thank you so much for tuning into the Accountability Partner Podcast. Please make sure that you share this with a friend or two or three or four or five. And make sure that you are spreading the wealth and spreading the knowledge. Again, if you haven't already, please make sure you are subscribed to the podcast and you're following us on Instagram and Facebook. That's at the Account Partner on IG and Facebook. Love you all. Thanks for tuning in. See you next episode.